Partiality, today, on the Ultimate Ground Rules.
But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.
Welcome to The Ultimate Ground Rules, a podcast built specifically to encourage, empower, and strengthen the faith of coaches as they live out their God-given purpose to develop the next generation of leaders. And now, your host, Dave Pritchard.
Hello and welcome to The Ultimate Ground Rules. I am your host, Dave Pritchard. Thanks for dropping in today. This podcast exists to encourage you. So if after listening you feel encouraged, please spread the word. Like, share, and subscribe to the show, or even leave a review on your podcast provider. All of these make the show easier to find so more coaches and athletes can be encouraged. Today we're going to continue our fall journey through the book of James. As we begin chapter 2, James addresses the sin of partiality, favoring one over another. In verses 1 through 9, James says this, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my brothers, has God not chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones, the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court, are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself,' you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." What James does here is draw us back to the very words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, which says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" So a man comes up to Jesus and asks him this question, "Which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And Jesus responds, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Jesus is saying, this is the foundation. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So the greatest commandment that we are to live our lives by is to love God with all of our heart. And if we truly have that priority aligned in our life, then everything else that is commanded of us will naturally flow out. This includes the second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, I don't know about you, but I like myself fairly well. One of the greatest sins that I struggle with is selfishness. And this is directly due to the high priority that I have a tendency to give myself. And if we're honest, I believe we all struggle with this. However, Scripture calls us to love others equally as much as we love ourselves. And that gets to the heart of what James is teaching us today. Notice that we're not to love our neighbors that we like as ourselves, or love those neighbors that can do something for us like ourselves. We're instead called to love all of our neighbors as ourselves. Now that's a tall order, but nonetheless, that's what we're commanded to do. So coach, maybe you ask the question, what does this have to do with you? What does it have to do with your team? And I think to answer those questions, we have to look at a few major points that James is trying to teach us. First, as coaches, we can't show partiality within our team. This can and will be one of the quickest ways that we can lose influence within our team. What do I mean? Well, how do you treat your star player in comparison to your role player? Or how do you treat your role player in comparison to a player who hardly plays at all? Is there a distinguishable difference between the way you interact with them? James is really driving the point home that as believers, we're not to treat those who can do something for us better than those who can't. Now, why is he teaching this? Because it's a real temptation for us in our fallen state. Our natural tendency can be to treat those who can benefit us better than those who we perceive to be of little use to us. However, coach, I want to challenge you that you chose your roster. In the college scene, you recruited them. If you're in the high school scene, maybe you had tryouts and selected your team, Or maybe you just took whoever showed interest in playing. But either way, you chose your team. You chose them all, and in that is a responsibility to love them all, both those who can immediately benefit your team and those who perhaps cannot. Now, where does this responsibility to love all of your players equally the same and to not show partiality, where does that responsibility come from? Why are we commanded to not show impartiality? Well, let me take you to 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. It says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" And here's the big point. He says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." These are some powerful words from John. He tells us that we know the true example of love only through Christ's work on the cross. He laid down his life for us, and we're to love others in the same manner. That's a big expectation. He challenges us to love not in word or talk, but in action. Basically, he's saying, talk's cheap, and we're to be men and women of action. So, Coach, Christ has set the example for us. It's the ultimate example, because of Romans 5:8 tells us, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. In other words, we could do nothing for him. We had nothing to give him, and yet he showed no partiality. He died for all. This is where our responsibility to love all of our players comes from. Now, secondly, I believe this passage directly challenges us to be intentional about the way that we treat others far beyond our role as a coach. We're to be impartial in all areas of our life. And this is huge for your team because they will pay attention to how you treat others. Answer these questions. How do I deal with restaurant staff when my team is eating on the road? How do I deal with others in my school building, both faculty and staff? Or can I dare ask you, how do I treat umpires? That's a tough challenge, but your players are learning daily by your example. So, Coach, this week I want to challenge you to be intentional with your relationships and with your time. Take a moment to assess how you are interacting with each player on your roster, as well as those individuals outside of your program. James calls us to show no partiality to individuals because of the example of Christ. If he was willing to love me equally, regardless of what I could do for him, then the least I can do is model that example to every player on my roster. Thanks again for joining us on the show today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast so we can reach as many coaches as possible with a word of encouragement. Never forget, your job is important. God loves you, and he has a plan for you. Continue to build tomorrow's leaders and stand firm in the faith.